Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, we've covered several segments concerning death and doom and gloom and destruction. And why does God bring it about? And what is the solution? Is there a solution? Well, the ultimate solution is the return of Christ. And that, if you go back through the segments we have concerning the return of Jesus Christ, is going to be awesome indeed. It is going to be earth-shaking. It is going to be of such a magnitude that take the worst thing in the world that you have ever seen. Just take this latest Frankenstorm, for instance, times it by 10,000. And that's what it's going to be in the whole world when Jesus returns. Now, there's something we can do right now. Something that each one of us can do as an individual. Something that every minister and pastor and evangelist can do if he is not teaching the truth of God. Something that every priest and bishop and cardinal and yea, even pope, if he would, could do. And that is, forsake your way and return to God. And you have to believe the witness that God has given. And the witness is in his word. That's why Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Then shall the end come. And so as we look at all of the prophecies, all the expanding of evil, and it's going to expand, we have to come back and ask the question, will we listen to the words of God? Will we heed what he says as a nation, as an individual? So when we come before God, remember, we're coming before his throne in heaven above, and we're coming directly to God the Father in Jesus Christ. There's no middleman in between. Now, here's a message from Jeremiah, where God told Jeremiah, you go stand in my temple, and you stand at the gate, and you speak these words, Jeremiah 7, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. So today it is, hear the word of God, all you people who enter into a church, enter into a synagogue, enter into a cathedral. Will you hear the word of God? Verse 3. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this land. Now, God will honor repentance at any level, anywhere, if it's truly from the heart, and if it's truly seeking God and wanting to have these sins covered and forgiven. God will forgive. God will forgive the sin of abortion, of murder, of lying, of cheating. Let's read it here. And let's see what we have to forsake. Verse 4. Do not trust in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. That's what they did in Jeremiah's time. Let's not say, we're God's people, we live in America, we're wonderful people. Where's the credit to God? Who made the land? Who gave it? Who blessed us? The Lord God did. Verse 5, if you will thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you will thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you will not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your hurt. All of that, that's a big package of repentance, isn't it? Yes, indeed it is. That involves people in government, people in religion, people in economics, people in their own businesses, people in their own homes and their own families, their own communities. But it has to start with one. And if it can start with you, you are that one. Verse 7, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. That is true in religion. That is true in finance. That is true in education. That is true in every facet of life, and especially true for all of the make-believe episodes on television and in movies. Lying words. A fake reality. So God says, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk out after other gods whom you did not know? Now you have to repent of all of that. You cannot continue to do that and use the name of God. You cannot continue to live this way and say, we are God's people. See, that's what they did back then. Verse 10, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. The grace of God covers it all. Not so. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? God says, behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. Now you go to my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people. And now because you have done all of these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear, and I called, but you did not answer. Therefore I will do to this house, which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. So God says, amend your ways. How do you do that? You have to admit and confess your sins. Let's come back here to verse 21 of Jeremiah, the third chapter. Isn't this interesting? Just like Paul wrote, there's New Testament doctrine in the Old Testament. And there are lessons for us to learn from what is called the Old Testament. It hasn't been done away, because that is what is going to convict us. And that is what God is going to use to judge us. So we need to change our ways. Verse 21, Jeremiah 3, a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication for the children of Israel. Yes, all the sins going on. Terrible. For they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. So what does God say? Return, O backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Return to God. Believe his word. Repent of your sins. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. That's what God wants. That's what all of this punishment for sin is about. That's why all the destruction, death, and doom and gloom. That we come to our senses. Living in a make-believe reality where everything is happy, 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 goody, 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 when it's not. So we've got to come to God. Verse 24, the shameful thing has eaten up the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds and their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and confusion covers us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Now that's the kind of repentance that God wants. God says he doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. God proclaims that the wicked, why will you die? Turn, turn, return to God. That's what he says. And today we do that through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, every sin and blasphemy and sin against the Son of Man shall be forgiven. Only the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit in rejecting God the Father will never be forgiven. But every other sin can be forgiven. Have you committed abortion? You can repent. God will forgive it. And God, when you come to understand his plan, is going to hand you back your own child sometime in the future in the kingdom of God, alive and well, wiping out completely that sin. Now that is an amazing story. Let's go on. Jeremiah, the 4th chapter, verse 1. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be removed. See, God not only wants you to repent, but he wants you to put away the sins. The lying, the cheating, the stealing, the adultery, the gambling, the narcissism, the believing in false religion and false gods, which are labeled Christian. There's a lot of work to be done. There is a lot that each one of us have to do. Now, if you do that in verse 2, and will swear, as the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. Yes, not by our own ways, what good people we are, how industrious we are. No, we want the truth of God. We want the love of God. We want the salvation of God. We want the mercy and forgiveness of God. That's how we need to come to God, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and trembling at his word. This is what God says is greater than a temple, that is greater than a building, that is greater than a cathedral, that is greater than a synagogue. He says, if you do that, then the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. And so God says, that's how you turn back to him. God wants it that. That's what Jesus said. Let's come back here to Luke 13. Let's come to the New Testament now. Because there were those in Jerusalem who came to Jesus, and they were talking about the devastation that happened, which killed people. And of course, we're always quick to judge, because you see, when we judge, we think we know what's in the mind of the other individual. You never know what's in the mind of another individual. Only God is the heart-knowing God. And a lot of you wives, you think you know exactly what your husbands think, but you really don't. Now, you can make pretty good guesses, but you do not know, see? So we cannot make those judgments. God is the one who is making the judgments, you see. Now, verse 1, Luke 13. Now, at that same time, there were present some who were telling him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Yes, Herod, the cruel king, took these people. They came to bring their sacrifices to God. And they were there during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Herod sent down his troops to take their sacrifices, kill them, take their blood, and mingle it with the sacrifices on the altar of God. And the people seeing this, these people really deserved it because they were great sinners. Let's see what Jesus said. Verse 2, and Jesus answered and said to them, Do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? No, I tell you. But if you do not repent, you shall all likewise perish. God is interested in repentance. And that means you have to begin to know the laws and commandments of God, because transgression of the law is sin. And you have to repent of your actions and your thoughts and the wild imagination that goes on in your mind, mulling over and bringing about evil things. That's why God destroyed the ancient world with the flood, because their imagination was only evil continuously from their youth. God wasn't in their thoughts. See, God is the one who makes the judgment. Now, you have to make the judgment of yourself before God. That's why you need to know the Word of God, so you can compare your behavior and your thoughts with what God wants. You can see what God rejects and condemns, and you can repent of that. You can change your behavior. That's why God didn't say back there in Jeremiah 7, oh, change your thoughts. No, he said, amend your ways. And that means change your thoughts and your doings. Now let's read on. Or of those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed him, do you suppose that these were debtors above all men who live in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but if you do not repent, you shall all likewise perish. Quite a message, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Now, what are you to do then? How are you to do it then? What is it that you need to believe in? Well, let's come back here to Mark, the very first chapter. And let's see how Jesus began preaching the gospel in Galilee. What did he say? And let's think about it. And let's analyze it. Let's apply it to our lives. Let's see what we need to do. And by the way, you can order our book at no cost to you. Lord, what should I do? And you need to know. We are living in the end times. We are living in difficult and terrible times, and we are seeing many terrible things take place. And those things have happened down through generations, cycle after cycle. And all of those have been given by God so that people would come to realize God is creator, God is maker, God is the one who has done all of these things. We need to come to him. So here, Mark, the first chapter, and verse 14. Now, after the imprisonment of John, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is two phases. Number one, the kingdom of God, which Jesus is going to bring upon the earth when he returns. And the kingdom of God for us who are under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God. We're not yet in it because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. But we are under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit of God, through the laws and commandments of God, through the words of Jesus Christ, the writings of the apostles, and the writings that we find in the rest of the Bible. All of that becomes the governing factor in our lives. Verse 15, and saying, the time has been fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is near at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Our repentance. Repentance is a stopping of sin, a turning around, a going in the direction of God instead of the direction of your own life the way you have been living. And then to prove your sincerity, to prove that you really mean what you say, God requires that you be baptized. And that is a covenant baptism. And with that baptism in full immersion in water, You are making a covenant with God unto your death that you will love God and be faithful and serve Him in spite of all circumstances. We're to put out the sin and put in the righteousness. We are to overcome the evil thoughts that are in our hearts and in our minds and have them washed away by the washing of the water of the Word. Now you see how far removed that is from what the nation is doing. So we need to understand the times we're living in. Now, the first thing that the apostles did when they started preaching the gospel, because you see, you need to realize this. A lot of people have a mental understanding of it or a notion of it that Jesus died for our sins. All right? But what does that mean? You need the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. What did Jesus go through for you, that you may have your sins forgiven? What does it mean that the shed blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your sins to justify you to God the Father through Jesus Christ? Why did Jesus have to suffer the way he suffered? And why did he suffer on the day that he did? All of this was pre-programmed by God, which is all explained in the book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. This is another book you need, because this will prove to you through the fulfillment of the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, and everything was prophesied and was fulfilled. And yes, on that last Passover day when Jesus was crucified, 28 prophecies were fulfilled in one day. And that occurred on the Passover day. Now, these things you need to know, because you look at all the death, destruction, gloom, and doom, and everything that takes place in the world, and Christ took all of that upon himself because he loves you, and God the Father loves you and wants you to repent. Because all of your sins, your part, everybody else's part, were the real instruments and the power which killed Christ. Now, when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, when the church began, and he was preaching to a lot of those who had witnessed Christ, who had been healed by him, who saw what happened to him when he was crucified, and even the disciples were wondering, why is this happened? Was he not the Messiah? See, God had greater things than they thought, just like God has greater things for you than you have ever thought. Acts 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with full assurance that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So when you say Christ died for you, think of all of the scourging, the beating, the nailing of his hands to the cross and his feet to the cross and the spear in his side. That was done for you. And when you repent, Jesus says, Father, accept my sacrifice in payment for your sins. So then after hearing this, will this happen to you? Verse 37. Now after hearing this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you yourselves shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the way out. Now, we have to go through a lot of things in this world. That is true. And we may see things that are going to be far more devastating than what we've seen in these recent disasters that have been in our day. But God holds out the hope. This is the correction given so that we may repent, so that we may stop and think, where are we going? What are we doing? How are we doing things? Where is God? Where is my life? This is what God wants you to do. Like Jeremiah said, amend your ways and your doing. Like God said, return to me and I'll return to you. So this is the reason for these things. And since there are billions of people on earth, these things will continue this way. Some may be more disastrous than this, some may be not so. But nevertheless, all of it is by the hand of God, of correction, to bring people to turning to Him instead of the satanic way of this world and their own lives the way that they are living them. So be sure and order these books that we have mentioned. We'll send them to you free of charge. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and be sure and use our other website, cbcg.org, where we have hundreds of in-depth sermons going through the Word of God, verse by verse by verse. So until next time, so long, everyone.